Would you turn to Luke chapter 11? Verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And here's the second request that he said we should make. First, thy kingdom come. And secondly, thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Thy will be done. Now, we know that the Lord's will is going to be done, don't we? We know it. We rejoice in it. We're glad it's that way. We wouldn't want it to be any other way. And yet, we're taught to pray to the Lord and ask Him for this. Thy will be done. That is to be always in our thinking, in our hearts. Thy will be done. I couldn't help but think of the Lord in Gethsemane's garden when he, the scripture says, was sore amazed and very heavy. And he said, Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now that's one of those mysterious things in the scripture. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He knew he was getting ready to bear all the weight of hell. And I can understand him praying that. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Aren't you grateful to the Savior for that? Now, thy will be done is a desire, and your desires are what you really are. Thy will be done. And that's the desire of my heart. That's the desire of the heart of every believer. Thy will be done. Whatever it does to me, thy will be done. I love that hymn we sing, Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. I don't want my will to be done. I really don't. I want the Lord to cut it out of me, amputate it out of me. Thy will be done. Now, God is, and His will is a necessity of His isness, His being. God has a will. There is such a thing as the will of God. The Lord's a person. He's not a influence or some kind of force. He's a person who has a will, an intent, a desire, a purpose. And everything that takes place is according to His will. Ephesians 1:11 says He works all things after the counsel of His own will. We're told to, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. In everything. I don't care what it is. I don't care how painful it is. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Isn't that wonderful? Everything that takes place is His will concerning me, concerning you. If it happened, He willed it. I could think of so many different examples, but the first thing I think of is the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. Why did they fall? It was all a part of God's will. He said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He could have prevented it. He didn't, because it was part of his good and perfect and acceptable will. And what would we know of mercy? What would we know of his love? What would we know of his grace if it never happened? God hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. I think of the cross. Acts chapter 2, verse 23 says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and with wicked hands have crucified and slain. The early church said in Acts 4, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. You know a scripture I love? Not a sparrow falls to the ground without your heavenly Father. Something that is seemingly insignificant to us over on the other side of the world, a sparrow died and fell out of a tree. And it was all according to the glorious, all-wise purpose of God. He controls everything. His will is always done. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now let me try to make a few statements regarding the will of God. His will is eternal. What's that mean? Well, whatever it is now, it always was. It always was. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. His will is immutable. That means he doesn't change. The Lord's not a man that he should repent. He never changes his will. His will is always efficacious. That means his will, he's got the power to make sure it always comes to pass. He said, have I spoken it? Shall I not do it? Our God, David said, is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. It's not possible for the will of God to be thwarted. Isn't that wonderful? It is if you love him. If you love him, you're glad it's that way. His will is causeless. And by that I mean, there's nothing outside of himself that determines what his will is. He never responds. He never puts out fires. There are never contingencies or conditions that must be met for him to do what it is he wants to do. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he. In earth and sea and in all deep places. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. His will is sovereign. That means whatever he wills, it happens. There's nothing that can prevent his will from happening. The scripture says he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God has a will. God has the power to make his will come to pass. And God always makes his will come to pass. You see, God really is God. He's the only independent being. Now, the Lord taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth. Here. In my life. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now in heaven, I love to think of this. His will is done perfectly. Constantly. Unhesitatingly. Cheerfully. Immediately. Without question. Now, is his will done on earth like it is in heaven? No. You don't have people cheerfully doing his will. Now, everybody, whatever they do, he's in control of, but you don't have people cheerfully, willingly doing his will. Now, somebody may ask, how can you say that his will is always done and yet say it's not done in heaven or in earth the way it is in heaven? It seems like those two statements seem to contradict one another. How can it be that his will is always perfectly done and yet his will is not done on earth as it is in heaven? Well, there's his will of purpose or decree. That will is always done. And then there's his will of precept or command. And that will is not always done. When we sin, we cannot say it was God's will for me to commit that sin. Can't say it. Can't blame God. Now, if you sinned, could he have prevented it? Yes. You remember in Genesis chapter 20 where Abimelech said, out of the integrity of my heart, I didn't touch Sarah. And the Lord said to him, you didn't touch her because I didn't allow you to. That's the reason. Any sin you do not commit, any sin I do not commit, it's because the Lord God prevented it. But can we for a second blame him for our sin? I think of Romans chapter 9 where he says, he'll have mercy on whom he will have mercy. And whom he will, he hardens. That's what the Bible says. He has mercy on whom he will have his mercy, and whom he will, he hardens. Then Paul says, well, thou wilt say unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? How can he hold me responsible if he hardened my heart? How can he judge me for my sin if he hardened my heart so that that's what I did and it was because he hardened me? How can he hold me responsible? I thought that. I surely have. I thought that. I love Paul's answer. Nay, but O man, who are you to reply against God? Since when do you have the moral authority to sit in judgment upon what God does and say, I think that's wrong. I don't agree with that. Whatever God does is right. Do you believe that? Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Turn with me for a moment to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Thy will be done. Now, this is a very important verse of Scripture. They're all important. I guess I'm being kind of redundant when I say something like that, but this passage of Scripture is very helpful. Verse 29, Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. What are the secret things? It's the stuff he hadn't revealed. It's things that haven't happened yet. You know, whatever takes place tomorrow, it's a part of the secret things. Now, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And the secret things, the things that are not revealed, the things that have not happened yet, that we don't know anything about. And, you know, I'm so thankful I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. What if it was something real bad? Oh, I wouldn't get sleep tonight, I guarantee you. I don't want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. But he knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And everything that happens tomorrow is according to his will. The secret things belong to the Lord. Aren't you glad everything all of tomorrow is in his hands? And nothing's going to happen except what he wills to happen. The secret things belong to the Lord, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, the secret things do belong to the Lord. And you know, I've got to say this. I trust him. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I trust him. I know he's in control. And I know he knows what he's doing. And I know I don't know what he's doing, but I don't feel like I need to. I trust him. He's God. And we trust him. But the things that are revealed. Now, there are some things that are revealed. Let me tell you something that's not revealed. The names of God's elect in the Lamb's Book of Life are not revealed. I mean, we don't have access to the Lamb's Book of Life, do we? That have all the names of God's elect written down. But does that mean I just wait around and see what happens and find out if I'm one of the elect on Judgment Day and I just wait and I'll find out then? Is that? No. Peter says to give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Now, here's something that's revealed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that's something that's revealed. And that tells me if I call on his name, I shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Save me by your power, by your grace, by your will, all your glorious attributes. Save me by who you are. That's revealed. That belongs to us, for us to do it. You don't need to worry about whether or not you're elect. You don't need to worry about it. What you need to do and what I need to do is call upon the name of the Lord. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Listen to this. God commands all men everywhere to repent. There's something that's revealed. The Lord said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's something revealed. If you come, he will not cast you away. You'll be embraced. You'll be received if you come. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now there's something revealed. And you know, I do believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe he's God's Christ. I believe he's God's prophet. I believe he's God's priest. I believe he's God's king. I need him to be my prophet. I need him to be my priest. I need him as my king. Now the Bible says, whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You and I can conclude from that, I'm born of God. Because I do believe. You know, when I was thinking this morning, I was thinking of that scripture I quote so often, 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I thought to myself, that's the only thing. At the time, I wish I felt this way all the time, but that's the only thing I could get a hold of. And you know what I concluded from that? He came to save me. And you know what? He saved me. You see, the secret things, they belong to the Lord, and that's fine there, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children, that we might do the things written in this law. Now, sovereign grace never kept anybody out of heaven. Election never kept anybody out of heaven. Brings people in. And it ought to give everyone in here the encouragement to call upon his name. Now, when God saves somebody, that individual becomes someone who knows his will, desires his will, and does his will. Anybody that God saved, they become someone who actually knows the will of God. Do you know I know his will? Someone says, that seems presumptuous. No, it's not. And you'll see why here in a few minutes. They know his will. They desire his will. That's the actual desire of their heart. That's what we want. We pray, when we pray, thy will be done, it's not going through the motions. We're really asking, Lord, thy will be done. That's what I want. Take my will, make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thy own. It shall be thy royal throne. And a believer is someone who actually does his will. These three things. Number one, when God saves somebody, that individual becomes someone who knows God's will. Now turn with me to John chapter 15 for a moment. Verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. Now, what's a servant do? He just does whatever his Lord tells him to do. Does he say, I need an explanation for this? No, he doesn't get an explanation. Do it. That's the way a servant... I remember, I don't know how many times I heard when I was a kid. I never agreed with it, but it was true. My dad always told me, I don't owe an explanation to you for anything. And I never liked that, to be honest with you. I never liked it. I mean, who would? But when the Lord says that, you understand it, don't you? A servant doesn't have to know why he's told to do what he's just called upon to do it. But look what the Lord says. He says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. Friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now the Lord says to his people, you're my friends in this sense. This is how you're my friends. Now, everybody knows, isn't it wonderful to have a friend that you can pour your heart out to? That you don't have to be guarded around. You don't have to guard what you say because you're afraid of how they'll take it or how they'll use it. But you know that whatever they say, they'll put it in the best light. And you can make yourself known to them. And they don't hold you off. They make themselves known to you. What a blessing it is to have a true friend. You know, some people go through life without really ever having a friend. And what a blessing it is to have a true friend. You know, makes me, you know, husbands and wives ought to be best friends. Best friends. Making themselves known to each other. But the Lord says, I've made known to you what's in my heart. Do you know if you're a believer, the Lord Jesus Christ has disclosed to you that which is most precious to himself? What an honor. What a blessing. What a great privilege. He said, I've made known unto you my will. You know the very will. When you're a believer, you know the very will of God. You know, in Acts chapter 22, verse 14, Ananias said to Paul, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will. I know his will. For instance, the Lord let us know this in his word. This is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. I know it is. It's his will for everybody that the Father had given him that he was going to raise them up and save them. We know the will of God. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son. Now, salvation, as far as our experience goes, begins with seeing the Son. You see who he is. I tell you what, when you see who he is, you'll see who you are, and not before then. But when you see who he is, you'll see who you are, and you'll see your need of him. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him, this is God's will, everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. This is the Lord Jesus speaking in verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that covenant of works, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That word once for all means perfectly completed, never to be repeated. I can't get any more sanctified than I am. And I'm sanctified by the supreme will of God. He willed my sanctification. And it came to me through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul already knew God's will of command. He didn't know his secret will. If that were the case, you could tell everything that will happen tomorrow with mathematical precision. But Paul came to know what his will of redemption was and is, and you and I do as well. You know, the leper understood something about the supremacy of God's will. You remember what the way he came? The scripture says he came and worshiped the Lord, saying, he came and worshiped, fell at his feet, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. You believe that? Do you believe in the supremacy of his will to that extent? If he wills it, you're clean. Leper knew that. And you know, that's really what worship is. That he came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Oh, the supremacy of his will. We know all he's got to do is will it. Kind of like the Roman centurion. He said, Lord, I didn't count myself worthy to come to you. I didn't think myself worthy for you to come to me. But speak the word only, will it, and my servant shall be healed. And we know his will, don't we? Now, I don't know his will of decree in the sense that I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I don't know what's going on and all that kind of stuff, but I know the will of God. It's the will of God for everyone that Christ died for to be saved. We love his will. James 1:18 says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. John 5:21 says, the Son quickeneth whom he will. If you're quickened, it's because he willed your quickening. Matthew 18:14 says, it's not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones perish. I love that scripture. God is not slack, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm not going to perish. I'm going to come to repentance because God willed for it to take place. Oh, we love the supremacy of his will, and we know it. Now, I know this too. I mean, I know his will, and this is whatever happens, it's his will. Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever happens, it's his will. And I know this. It was done for my good and for his glory. Now, believers know the will of God. Every believer does. There's no such thing as a believer that doesn't know the will of God in the sense that I'm talking about. We know his will of redemption. But not only do we know his will? There is a desire, a true, heartfelt desire for his will. We're taught to pray, thy will be done. Now we know his will be done, don't we? We know that. But we're taught to pray by the Lord, thy will be done. If my will is contrary to yours, change my will. Cause my will to be nothing less than thy will. And whatever your will is, that is what I'm satisfied with. Make me willing in the day of your power. David said, teach me to do thy will. Work in me both to will and to do thy good pleasure. There was a lady that was dying. And I remember when I was sick, people asking me, well, what do you want to happen to you? When I was very sick. And I remember I would answer, well, whatever the Lord's will is, that's what I want. And I meant it. I meant it. But this lady, they asked her, they said, well, what do you want to be done? She was dying. Do you want to live or do you want to die? She said, well, whatever the Lord's will is. And the fellow said, well, I know that. But if you had your will, what would you want to be done? She said, well, I'd say, Lord, whatever your will is, that's what I want done. There is a childlike delight and submission to the will of God where we actually want it done. And whatever it does to us, that's okay. You hope it's not something that's going to be very difficult, but still, you want his will to be done. Thy will be done. There is a willingness to do his will. I love that scripture where Paul says, to will is present with me. Romans 7. To will is present with me. Now, he went on to say, now how to perform that which is good, I find not. I got the will. The will is present with me. As far as the actual, in my experience, doing it, I find not, he said. He didn't say I make mistakes sometimes. He said I find not. You know, there's a very real sense in which his will of purpose is always done, and there's a sense in which his will of command is never done. You never do as you would. Paul said, that which I would, I do not. And what I hate, that's what I end up doing. But there is a willingness to do his will. I think of that scripture in John 7, where the Lord said, he that will do his will. Did you hear that? He that will do his will shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God. Do you know a failure to discern the truth is a result of an unwillingness to do his will? And where there's a willingness to do his will, you'll know. There's a discernment of the truth. Not only is there a knowledge of his will, not only is there a willingness to do his will, there is an actual, literal, positive doing of his will. Remember when the Lord said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that, what? Doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's the only ones who will enter heaven, those people who actually do his will. He said, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? And in your name have we not cast out demons? And in your name have we not done many wonderful works? And then shall I profess to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Now who is that person who actually does his will? Beloved, it's the person who believes the gospel. When I believe on Christ, when I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as all that will make me acceptable before God, when I look to Him the same way God looks to Him, God looks to Him for everything He requires of me. I look to Him for everything God requires of me. I trust Him the same way God does. You know when I do that? When I believe on His name, I'm doing the will of God. When I love His people, I am doing the will of God. I am keeping His commandment. Not just admiring it, but keeping it. 1 John chapter 3. I'm so thankful for this verse of Scripture. You know, I think of those times where the Lord says, "Whoso keepeth my commandments, he it is that loved me." And I think, well, have I kept His commandments? Because if I haven't, I'm not somebody who loves Him. What does it mean to keep His commandments? Because when I look at the Ten Commandments, this is one of the great mysteries of the gospel, I haven't kept one commandment one time in myself, but in my Redeemer, I've kept them all. That's why I don't try to keep the law. I kept it. I don't try to keep it. I've kept it. And I love God's law. But as far as in my experience, seeing where I've kept any of these commandments, I'm being as honest as I know how to be, where I haven't kept one of those commandments. Not even once. Not in my heart. You know, thy commandment, David said, is exceeding broad. I want you to ask yourself the question, have you kept any of those commandments? Where God would say, yep, pass the test. Did it. No. I know that. But let me tell you some commandments that I have kept and am keeping right now, doing His will. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, and this is His commandment, that we should believe, rely upon the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now, I'm keeping that. I am relying right now on His name. This is the name wherewith He shall be called the Lord our righteousness. I'm relying on His name as all that's needed. I'm believing the same thing the thief believed. When he said, Lord, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's a reliance upon His name. And I love everybody who loves Him. Now, I know it's one thing to say it and it's another thing to do it. But every believer, whoso loveth Him that begets, loveth also him that is begotten of him. Every believer loves the Lord's people and loves my soul. I want everybody to believe. I really do. I want everybody to believe. I love men enough to where I want to tell them the truth, and I want them to believe the God, and I want to be an example to them. I want to be an example of love, kindness, graciousness. But we love one another. We love the people of God. Now, I love that scripture in Romans chapter 12 where Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. What's it mean by our bodies? Your body. That's what he means by it. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world that hates the Lord Jesus Christ, this world that has no desire for His salvation. This world that has no regard for the living God would be much happier if there were no God. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be impressed with the ways and the maxims of this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and that acceptable and that perfect will of God. Truly, the cry of our heart is, Thy will be done. Let's pray.